can get started on this first session after lunch, and only one more between the attendees and the bar. So we're getting organized. The subject we're going to discuss today post-Cold War foreign policy has been one of the most vexing problems in trying to get the conservative community organized, simply because it's proven to be so difficult to achieve a consensus. And then in the few moments before we started, I walked around the lobby and was hard-pressed to find any literature that dealt with foreign affairs or national security subjects, which I think underscores the sort of the paradox of this very fertile time for the shaping of national security policy, which has many parallels with the interwar period between the First and Second World War, and yet it shares also a parallel of a sharp decline in public interest in it. But I think it's certainly a subject that I'm very pleased to see the society taking up today, and I hope that the opportunity presents itself to do it more often in the future, because trying to establish a consensus is something now the Republican leadership has a rare opportunity to do in Washington, having for the first time since the first term of the Eisenhower administration, a circumstance where the White House and both houses of the Congress are controlled by the Republican Party. And indeed, there are some interesting parallels with the circumstances that Eisenhower faced in that period. Our ally of World War II had become, by 1953, our mortal enemy. He had a legacy force from World War II in Korea that was inappropriate to the threat environment that we faced in the 1950s. A whole range of new types of technologies that had been invented, nuclear propulsion for naval vessels, ballistic missiles, thermonuclear weapons, communication satellites, reconnaissance satellites. All of these things had to be addressed, and the way the Eisenhower administration addressed it has, again, some parallels to the current circumstances, where they took a top-down view of the threat, U.S. strategic needs, and tried to come up with an alternative way of coping with the threat. And for better or worse, the policy changes the Eisenhower made in the first few months of its administration set the stage for the way in which we dealt with the former Soviet Union for most of the remainder of the century. And we have a circumstance now where the collapse of the former Soviet Union has made it infeasible to develop forces that would be optimized against any one threat. But we know the threats can come up virtually overnight, as we've seen where North Korea has sold Rodong missiles to Libya, and Libya now, a country that could be rolled up with two dozen Hollywood extras, is now poses a threat to 400 million people in Europe. So it's the kind of environment we're in clearly requires some intense intellectual activity to try and understand what our interests are and how we should act on them. And I think we have a particularly rich diet of speakers today who are experienced in various dimensions of the kind of circumstances that a policy consensus will have to be formed. And just before I introduce the speakers, I would like to apologize in advance for having to be rude and depart a little early, and owing to the tyranny of airplane schedules, I didn't have a better alternative, but fortunately Admiral Ratcliffe will be able to do the javelin catching for the last 20 minutes or so of the meeting. So I think our first speaker of the afternoon will be Barry Cooper from the University of Calgary, who will speak on the subject of terrorism in the 21st century. Clearly, one of the opportunities that new technology is going to provide some rich opportunities.